Welcome to the In Hope Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Preach.
And I'm Brandon. And each week we drop an episode to strengthen unity in the body of Christ.
We want you to be part of the conversation. So make sure you like, share, subscribe, and let's talk. All right. So let's just start things off with just a quick word of prayer as we are going to get into this conversation, just really reflecting on responses. We've held off on this and we've kicked the can down the road. You know, we're not too worried about it being something that's catching a wave and going viral. It's more about the conversation and really addressing the Christian response, the church's response, and what we can learn about unity and what unity factors do we pull from this and how things ripple effect and the backlash and everything that has kind of come from that unfortunate day of Charlie Kirk's assassination. And I know I've heard of so many varying views on this within the church. And so I feel like more than talking about the individual and his character and, you know, and all those where he stood with God and all of that, there's going to be a lot that I feel like we can pull from this as far as how does the church actually practice unity in what we could call crucial conversations. You know, stakes are high, emotions run high. What does this mean? There's a lot of ripple effect when we start putting things together. And so we have to come at this with this idea of, okay, this is, again, our focus, right? How do we practice unity even in these difficult conversations? So let's open up with a word of prayer and then we'll get right into it. Father, we just thank you so much for, first and foremost, who you are. You are our Father in heaven. And you look down on us. You stand near to us, closer than a brother, even dwelling within. And you love, and you love us far beyond what we can understand or fathom despite ourselves. And you love our brothers, our sisters, even those that we would call our foes and our enemies, far beyond what we could fathom and understand. And we just thank you so much that above all of the circumstances, all of the issues, all of the hurts, worries, and woes of this life, you are a constant above all of that. And your call to us to be part of your kingdom, to reflect your kingdom, to walk in unity and love with one another is a constant. So we pray, Father, that even in the midst of this conversation, you help us to understand, you would speak to us, that we would hear from you, and we would grow in understanding the application of what it really means, what it looks like to see your kingdom come, your will be done, and for us to live and walk as one in a way that would help the world to know that Jesus is the one true King. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right.
Yeah, well, I think... I will kick us off with just a little thing here. I think the biggest thing that I've seen come from this, whether you like him or not, is that there is a revival in the church because of it. And people going to church. I've seen so many posts of people saying, I went to church for the first time in 20 years or the first time ever, or it's making people start to seek and try to understand what he was about. And a lot of that could be coming from they're seeing so many more of his videos. They're learning more about his faith because he was definitely in politics as well. Yeah. And those are the more viral, I think, of his posts. But what happened with his death is that all of his stuff became viral. And so even his faith side of talks and like him talking to churches and him talking to youth groups and stuff like that started popping up, and then people were like, oh, okay, well, what about this? And I think that's where the unity piece is going to be the biggest call to have unity right now is to, whether you like him or not, recognize that he's bringing people into the church, maybe for the first time, and we need to be ready.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's probably the biggest thing I've gotten from is like, we need to be ready. And people that have been sitting on the sidelines in churches that have already gotten the good news and we're just kind of like coming and going need to jump in and help because there's an influx of people coming in. I posted about this the other day because I'm sure a lot of churches are feeling a little overrun right now.
Oh, yeah.
With what their volunteer base is versus what they need with the influx of people. Like, if you think about it, any church, if you added an extra 100 people to them in 1 week, is not ready for that.
Yeah.
To some degree. Like, they might be somewhat ready for it. Some churches are more than others, especially like a really large church that already
has. Yeah, I was going to say, unless it's a church of thousands already.
Yeah, if it's a thousands, then maybe an extra 100 is okay because they already have.
Yeah,
because they already have a bunch of staff. Exactly. Probably staff for almost every position in the church is staffed.
Yeah.
But like, especially not like a smaller church. Because I know, because I've been into church plants before, having a big influx of people like that would be kind of crazy, especially for kids programs.
Oh, come on.
I would say is probably the biggest need. Yeah. So anybody out there, I would say that is listening to this and has kind of been on the sidelines and like, if you can jump in any way, especially if you like kids, like don't do it if you don't like kids. We never push people into kids ministry. Right. If they're like, I hate being around kids. You should definitely do kids ministry just because there's a need. No, that's not a good idea. But if you have a heart for kids, that I would definitely say that's a good place to jump in. And
if you're willing to grow one, I've known and heard of people multiple times, even my wife and in some instance has said that she has prayed for God to give her a heart for kids.
Yeah.
And has definitely done that over recent years. And both my wife and I would tell you that we were never the kid loving kid.
Yeah.
Want to be a kid's pastor type of person. Yeah. I've always been like, no, I'll start dealing with them when they're a little older. Yeah. But God has definitely grown our hearts for kids. And that's something that he is willing to do. Yeah. If we're willing to ask and we're willing to receive that. Because he can grow our hearts for people. And that's something that, and that's not just kids, which is good. Just even as we talk about this, that's not just kids. That is, God can grow your heart for almost anyone, even your worst enemy. He can grow your heart and give you a love and compassion for them because he, believe it or not, has a love and compassion for them. Yeah. And so he can grow that in you if you're willing. And so if we are willing to ask for that, that makes a big difference.
Yeah. I know with the people who are coming into the church right now, you know, it's kind of a big jump.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You go to church for your first time. And then a lot of the times there's that call to tithe or to volunteer or to go to this group or go to that group.
Yeah.
Like the biggest encouragement that, and the biggest thing that I've seen that's helped people is just to get involved.
Yeah.
Just start doing something. Because it's great to go on Sunday. Great to feel the Holy Spirit, that sense of community. But there's a whole different side of fulfillment to the church when you actually step in to the place where God has called you so that you can start go serving other people.
Yeah.
And I think that's really where like the heart of Christ is developed when you're at church.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's great. And the people who have been going to church and you're not volunteering yet, this is your time.
Yeah.
You know, there's
take that step up. Yeah.
I promise you there's people that are way more busy than you. And I think that's the biggest thing that was the biggest excuse that I made is, oh, I'm so busy. And but no.
Yeah. Well, and we would all be less busy if all of us gave just a little bit. Cause I guarantee you and it's funny that we're even getting down this trail, but in most churches, most organizations, even especially when you're talking volunteer based organizations, you're going to have at usually around 10, maybe 20, if they're really good, percent of people doing 90% of the work. And this happens with volunteers where you get volunteers that get burned out because they're taking on all of the volunteering and 90% of the church is just absorbing it and not giving back to it. Where you have volunteers who are doing it every single week, maybe get a week off every month, and then you have people who aren't doing any. If we could all just say one week a month, we probably have more volunteers than we know what to do with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Along those lines, I think a lot of people think that because people are in positions that there's no room for them.
Yes.
And so, but that's because they are doing it every single week, and but they shouldn't be. There's always room to add more people, because then that helps really reduce the load from the people that are, especially in kids ministry. Again, that's a ministry that is underserved, and all those leaders have to sit out of the of the congregational service, being together. And if they have to do that every single week, that's really hard on them.
Absolutely.
And I know, cause I was over the kids ministry at our last church, and it's a challenge. So if you, again, I there's always room for more people to volunteer and help reduce and spread out the workload. But also I wanted to say, we did not introduce Daniel and who he is. So
no, not at all. We just let him start talking.
You want to do that? Nathaniel?
So Daniel, just go ahead and introduce yourself a little bit. Our good friend Daniel, I call him Danimal. But this is our good friend Daniel. And, I just invited him to come on today because he's at an area in life that, as we said, we're going to talk a little bit about what has happened in response with Kirk and his target audience. A lot of his ministry was focused on young adults like yourself. So could you just kind of introduce yourself a little bit, and then also any background that you could bring to this conversation as far as kind of what you've known about Charlie Kirk, and just maybe even what you've looked up or looked into since we had this discussion about you coming on.
Definitely. So yeah, name is Daniel Weil. You can go ahead and find me at Witness Weil.
Yep.
All social media platforms. Yeah, I've known Pastor Nathaniel here for many, many years.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's been a great mentor. Definitely helped me with my relationship and get me through my hardest times in life. And here we are now. I graduated high school back in 2023. My associate's degree. Had a plan to go to school, go down the medical route and all that. God completely took me to other places.
He so, does that.
Yeah, ended up working in over a dozen states in just a year and a half, doing sales in the oil fields, building discipline. And now there's been a calling placed in my life to help people become passionate about serving Jesus.
Yes.
Because there's so many things in this world that are trying to take your energy here or there to take your focus. But ultimately, if we want to be effective in this day and age, we have to be focused on what Christ is doing in us and what he's calling us to do in this world.
It's truth.
Preach. Let's go.
It's truth.
So in terms of Charlie Kirk, I was listening to him for a few years. And I know even I went to Foothills Christian Church out here in Boise. And one of my friends there, he actually with Boise State University.
Okay.
He actually got to be involved with Charlie Kirk.
Okay.
So, you know, it's quite the honor there.
Yeah, yeah.
I went to a very interesting high school. It was a prep school and saw both sides of the coin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, definitely opposing views were in every single classroom that I was in. And sometimes it would get really, really tense. But it was very good because it taught me, you know, that there's still people. The end of the day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it doesn't really matter what your view is. Like, we're still called to love one another.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Charlie Kirk, I think one of the biggest things that I appreciated about him is the clarity that he would bring into conversations. Because when people start talking about, you know, topics that, you know, press their buttons or that they're really passionate about, there's a lot of emotion.
Absolutely. To that.
And I think one of the most important things when you're trying to arrive at truth is obviously like your emotion will help you like synthesize what's actually being said, but you still have to rely on the facts and like the logic behind it in order to actually arrive at that truth.
Yeah.
So I think Charlie did a really good job at that.
Mm.
Just like instilling like an inspiration into the youth as well.
Yeah.
Because even though we may be young, I feel like there's a lot of the youth is, they feel that they can't like have their own opinion or that their opinion isn't as valuable as maybe somebody else or somebody with more authority and things like that. And I think Charlie really did show, and he did inspire a lot of the youth to actually like be bold and to go out there and to go like do their best to bring truth into this world, because that's what we're called to do, to go shed light. So
that's good.
Overall, I think he had a massive impact.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, he'll go down in the history books as, you know, one of the greatest inspirations to the youth that has ever lived.
Yeah.
So definitely an honor to be able to like see him in his ministry and the work that he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think his work was just getting like, it's just getting started.
Yeah.
The impact.
Yeah.
So it's exciting to see.
I have a question for you, Daniel. You mentioned in there, feeling like you don't have a voice. And I just was curious from your perspective in your own time, what do you think made you feel that way? Like you didn't have a voice?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, by the way, Brandon. I think part of it is it comes down to identity. Because right now in the youth, there is a battle for identity.
That's the truth. We talked about that.
That's the truth.
If you look at what's being pushed onto the youth with, you know, LGBTQ, or right versus left, men versus women, everything, society is just trying to split people up into these different groups.
Yeah.
And I don't think that there is a goal for people to end up in one group or the other.
Mm-hmm.
I think the goal is just confusion, distraction, and division.
Yeah.
That's so, call the enemy.
Yeah. Exactly. Right?
Yeah. Kill, steal, destroy.
Yeah.
And what happens is when somebody isn't confident in who they are, then they're unable to actually like effectively communicate.
Yeah.
Like self-belief is huge. That was one of the biggest battles that I've gone through in my life is self-belief.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's times where I thought one thing about myself and then I would reflect on my actions. I'm sitting there like, man, maybe I'm not who I thought I was, right? And that's okay. That's the learning process, right? That's what actually will develop you into the person that you're meant to be.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
But just because you're going through those learning experiences, it doesn't mean that, you know, the wisdom that you have, the knowledge that you have, it doesn't mean that it's worthless.
Yeah.
It actually is. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's, when you go on social media, you see people and they come from this like perspective that they're at the end of their path. You know, they're really close to it, you know? And there's like this, I don't know if it's ego, but it's a different sort of confidence. And I think it's more of a facade than anything.
Yeah.
So I think we can all relate to times where you're just sitting there by yourself. Like, man, I really don't know as much as I thought I did, but it's still really important to hold on what you know.
Yeah.
And like keep pressing forward because, you know, you're always going to learn. We're going to be lifelong learners. The people who have given up on learning, you know, even if they're still alive, they're dead, you know? So yeah, it's still really valuable in order to actually like, you know, share what you know, share that wisdom, you know, give that opinion and just being like receptive to the Holy Spirit in that as well. Cause I was, you know, it says, don't think about like what you're going to say before like you go in front of like these things. And it's like, man, I want to, you know, be prepared about this or that.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes some of the most important like answers you'll give to questions are the ones that you've never prepared for.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that are not only speaking to your audience, but like you need it just as much as your audience does.
Cause a lot of times, and we've done this, I mean, that's one of the things I love about us just getting together on a platform like this is having these conversations. A lot of times we're processing things ourselves. And that's why we even invite and we always say, you know, join the conversation. We're not saying, hey, this is we've spent years and decades and we're the pros and we're coming to tell you exactly how it is. Right. Yeah. It's no, we're actually processing and talking these things out a lot of times as well. How many times have me and you, Brandon, been sitting here like, man, we're convicted. And it's because we're processing and God's also taking us on this journey through these conversations as well. And I think that's really big to be able to walk through that in this humble manner and then know that as you're going through it, you're growing as well. You're learning as well. Yeah. And so we can share our voice, share our views, share our opinions and grow as we go and do those things. I think it's really important when you look even at the Great Commission, right? That Jesus didn't say, get it all together and then go.
Yeah.
But they were growing as they went. There was an expectation that from where you are right now, no matter what level you're at, no matter whether or not you haven't even started your first class or you have your degree, right? Yeah. Whether you're in graduate school or you're in elementary school, the expectation is that you're going. And then as you're going, you will grow, you will develop.
He's going to equip you as you go.
Yeah, he's going to equip you along the way.
Yeah.
Something that you said,
Daniel,
was how there is so much going on in this goal of the enemy to break us into these different camps, yeah, right? And I think that that actually touches really well on just even this conversation today and a lot of the response, at least from what I've seen, a lot of the response from what happened with Charlie Kirk was more pushing and dividing into camps, unfortunately. Yeah. And that was heartbreaking for me. And I think a lot of it comes back to because where he lived his life was in a polarizing venue, polarizing state. I think a lot of times, and I'm just even reflecting on some of his comments, some of the things that I've know people have taken offense to with him, have been areas where there would be an assumption placed on what he said because of those camps. Was a lot of times there was at some points where, you know, he would use the words we or them or they or us. And when someone, depending on who you were, when you heard we, you either heard him saying we as in him and you, the one listening, or we as in your enemies.
Yeah.
And when you heard they, it was the same thing. It was either they, you're thinking, okay, he said they, and it's they are enemies, or it's they as in those people over there, they that, I don't know that he ever used the term they's positively, but they as in, you know, oh, he's talking about us in a good manner, right? But there, as soon as you start using those words, the us, we, them, they, which is going to happen. I mean, I don't know if we even just go back over this episode. There's probably multiple times where we use the words us, we, them, they, right? Yeah. So we're not always tracking and like super cautious about that, which I'm assuming, you know, him being human, he wasn't always super cautious about it as well. But as soon as those words are said, now we start thinking in these compartments of these camps, and dividing lines. And as soon as it goes over the line, which is very easy because most of the time we just have one line drawn, right? And then so as soon as it goes over the line, everything associated with that, all the assumptions, all of the intent is going to be negative. Mm. And as soon as it's on my side of the line, all of the assumptions, all of the intent is going to be positive. And that's where we get, I feel like that's where we get ourselves into trouble a lot, is where we start assuming the best of ourselves, best intentions of ourselves, and the worst of others.
I think where a lot of people fall into those, you know, there's a lot of things that they agree with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that Charlie Kirk said, there's some people that claim that they agree with everything, and there's other people that, you know, agree with not a whole lot of what he was saying.
Yeah.
Like, those, all these different groups, they're all taking offense at each other.
Yeah.
Also at Charlie, you know, there are so many different angles where it comes to. Brandon, I want to hear what you have to say about this, but like, how do you see that like offense has taken a role in sort of like the impact that Charlie Kirk has left?
offense. Well, I think there's a lot of preconceived notions about who he was. And, you know, when we talk about politics, there's a lot of echo chambers on both sides. And so a lot of people had a lot of assumptions about who he was based on whatever echo chamber they were listening to.
Yeah.
And I think that's true of anybody, really. Even like the way we group people as Republican or Democrat, and we say, well, all Democrats are this way, or all Republicans are this way. And there's not a lot of middle ground, even though most people are somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
Most people aren't all one. I'm not a full Republican. There's things that I'm like, I think we could do that better, you know, and I agree with the other side on that. And right, there's like that other side, you know, yeah, like we exactly, say things yeah. like that. So there's a lot of people who think the polarizing part was that they thought that he was a racist, or that he hated LGBTQ people.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things I appreciate the most about there was a something I saw him kind of give a message on, which is the way Jesus came in and had truth and grace.
Yes. Mm.
And so that I actually think that's probably the thing that I've seen from him that I would agree with the most in the way that he handled things. And it's that, because there's kind of a tendency to want to do all grace or all truth.
Yeah.
And that's a really, that's not where Jesus lived, but he did live, and he did live in both.
Yeah.
And that's where some of those things come from, is like, he came up against LGBTQ. And so people think he hates them because he's speaking against what their beliefs are, although he's only presenting his own beliefs. But then you go and watch a lot of his videos, and he constantly was like, you know, I don't hate you. I'm just trying to help you understand my point of view. And then he would set his microphone down and let them speak, which I really appreciated that about him as well. But then there's other people and this is true of, people say this about Christians too. It's like, oh, you're a Christian, you must hate LGBTQ. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'm like, no, I don't. In fact, I love them. But I also want to speak what I know is the truth.
Yeah.
Through the Bible, I am reading through the lens of God, and I don't necessarily believe that we have to affirm everything.
Yeah.
To love someone.
But how and hard I think, is that when
it's so we. Hard.
Again, when these things are broken up in the camps, by the way, Brandon, your camera's off.
Did I freeze? There we go. Is it better?
Yep. And then, so how hard is that to tell someone that, no, I don't hate you, even though I disagree? Because with what they're hearing sometimes, because of how things are broken up into camps, no, LGBTQ is not something I do, it's who I am, it's an identity.
Right
And so we've lost, as humanity, we have lost understanding of identity and who we are and what makes us who we are. And so often we will capture our identity in these different groups, and this is why it is so easy for us to become divided and to become so hateful, and to lose the sight of other people's humanity, because we have started to make everything about the group that you're part of.
Yeah.
Everything about these temporary groups that we're part of. When humanity, we as humanity, our souls, we are living souls that move beyond the temporary.
Yeah.
So if we're placing all of our identity in the temporary, we've lost sight of something.
Yeah.
I think like,
or we just don't know. I think they're just, right? I mean, like, there's so many people who just don't know that this is the temporary.
Right.
If you don't believe in God and you don't believe in heaven or an afterlife, then then this is not the temporary. This is all there is.
This is the everything.
And this is the everything. And and so part of the reason that we need to have conversations, and I, again, what I appreciate about Charlie Kirk and what he was doing is he was just trying to have conversations to get more information out there. And you mentioned something, Daniel, about being a constant learner. I noticed he, in one of his talks, was talking about that too. He was very much into always learning. And I think that's a disservice to most people, is that they don't have that view. Whether you believe in what he believes in or you believe in what someone else believes in, we don't have that view of, well, I should still try to learn and see what the other side is.
I want to
know both sides really well so that I can make it a really informed decision.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things I appreciated about him most, besides the grace and truth thing. But I do believe, and just to finish that one out, we are called to truth. And that's one thing that I think is motivating a lot of people right now, by what he said, is that, like, he was bold in that. And a lot of the church is not bold in that anymore. And even that inspired me a little bit, as, cause the truth is offensive.
Yeah.
Jesus offended people all the time.
Yeah.
He was truthful with the Pharisees. He was truthful with the religious elites.
Yeah.
And it was, and it came across as offense, and they wanted to kill him for it.
Yeah.
And so, that's something I think, was a positive of what happened to him, is that a lot of people have been motivated to be more bold in their faith. But then also, I think, recognizing that we do still need to have a lot of grace too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's where all truth is like a hammer, right? And it's also forgetting that we also needed that grace. And we still do many times.
Oh yeah.
So we can't forget that when we're talking truth, we can't be like without grace, because we need it. We all need it.
Exactly.
And that's the beauty of what Jesus did. But also, we can't just ignore the truth either.
Exactly.
Definitely.
Exactly.
So, like, I mean, when you look at like what Jesus is saying, you know, obviously, like, the truth that he's saying, it's telling people to stop sinning.
Yeah.
Right. And Paul talks about how, like, just because there's grace, that's not an excuse for you to keep on sinning.
Yeah.
But that grace is there for you because Christ died for you while you were still a sinner.
Yeah.
Like what you said earlier preaches that, you know, we're not called to get everything together and then go.
Mm-hmm.
We're not called to even know everything and then go. Like what we're called to do is to have like that heart posture that I don't know everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're called to be humble. Like we're called to approach our learning with grace as well, because I think learning and discipline are very, very similar. Because we can, there's one of my favorite sayings from Proverbs is, don't be wise in your own eyes. I've fallen into that way too many times now. I don't know. Sometimes I still feel like I'm more of a know-it-all than I should be, right? I know a lot of you guys that can relate to that. But it's like discipline and learning are very similar, because when you're very confident in what you believe, and then there's something that shows you, like the Holy Spirit will convict you in a way, like, whoa, I need to take a step back.
Yeah.
Because I'm either approaching this from the wrong way, or I'm applying this into something where really like the Bible says something different than what I believe.
Yeah.
And, you know, through our experiences, we're obviously going to discern certain things and arrive and try to arrive at truth so that we can, you know, keep growing in our life and in our walk. But at the end of the day, no matter like what's being discerned in your heart, the word of God still trumps that any day of the week.
Yeah.
So like it's important, you know, to obviously like take what you've experienced, take what you hear, but at the end of the day, like still rely on the word of God for truth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's not about taking the Bible, the word of God, and, you know, basically trying to pull things out that apply to you, but it's more so about applying yourself to the word of God so that God can shape you into what's into what's being said.
Absolutely.
Instead of you trying to shape yourself with what he is saying. So,
So I have to read this really quick because this is just something that has come to my mind as we're reflecting on response and what happened after this assassination. And I've heard good points on, you know, all different sides of this thing. But the main thing, like you were saying, Daniel, is we always have to come back to, okay, but what does the Word of God say? Right. And we've discussed before how the Word of God encourages us in times of calamity and loss, that there is a place for mourning. We talked about how even Jesus wept, right, at the loss of his friend Lazarus and the pain that his sisters were going through and what was happening there. And we see that he entered into this practice of mourning with them. And he wept with them. And it's something that is encouraged throughout Scripture. But another thing that we see encouraged throughout Scripture that we can't close our ears to as well is even with those we disagree with, even with those that we would count our enemies, how God calls us to a higher standard of love for them. And and there's this one passage, this one just tends to... this one was coming to my mind, and it's in Psalms 35. And this is David talking about how he responded when some of his enemies were going through hard times. And he said, "But I, when they were sick," not even dead, "but when they were sick, I wore sackcloth. I afflicted myself with fasting. I prayed with head bowed on my chest. I went about as though I grieved for my friend or my brother. As one who laments his mother, I bowed down in mourning." And this response right there, I love that you said we can learn all these different things. We can grow and we can try to practice different things, learn from different people, but we always have to come back to this. And if we live by this, then our response in times of hurt and tragedy that try to divide us as a people. Now, this goes beyond just even what we saw recently with Charlie Kirk, but you go back over the last decade of all the different major responses and hurts and harms that kind of rippled throughout America from coast to coast, where we had people being killed in school shootings. We had people killed by police. We had people assassinated or beat up. And even people that, you know, one side or the other attempts, even people on one side or the other that would say they're the worst of the worst or they're the worst of the worst. As a Christian, we're not able to play that game. Christians, we need to rise above those things. And I think where the issue comes in is where we start to associate more with our temporary identities.
Yeah.
And the responses of those temporary identities than by our eternal identity and what the book says.
It's exactly what I think you hit the nail on the head there. it's stepping into that identity that God has given you.
Yeah.
Rather than what like the world tries to put on you, mm-hmm. or rather like what your beliefs try to define you as.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So like stepping into that like eternal mindset that the time that we have here is meant to prepare our souls for eternity with God.
Yeah.
Like that's why we go through hardship.
Yeah.
That's why we go through persecution.
Come on.
Because if we didn't go through those things, then how do you expect to be in the presence of God for eternity?
Right.
Like we have to learn to value it. We have to learn to, you know, want that more than anything else. We have to learn to find fulfillment in that. What if you didn't learn how to be filled, you know, just by the presence of God and his word alone?
Mm-hmm.
What if you went your whole life and, you know, you were always trying to find that next thing to get you
that next high and those temporary fulfillments. Yeah,
exactly. Because if you don't learn to, you know, just bring yourself low to just let him exalt you, then you'd never be able to be in his presence for eternity. You'd get sick of it, right? Yeah. So it's literally, it's eternity. There is no separation.
Yeah.
From that moment that we are with him, we will be with him forever.
Yeah.
So there is a lot of work that needs to be done. And, you know, that's, it's not work that, you know, we just do ourselves. You know, we're just we're participators with it. Says that we're co-heirs with Christ. Like, we're here to build things with him.
Yeah.
It says the work that he started in us, he will bring it to completion. Yeah. So we do have that hope, and we need to hold on to those promises. Because it's hard. You know, it's hard when you fall short and you feel like you're doing so well, and then you just, it's like you're walking up a flight of steps, and then, you know, you miss that top stair, and it's just like, oh, not only was that embarrassing, like, dang, I need to learn how to walk again and pay attention. But there's definitely, it's always a constant battle, and it's like this checks and balances.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you know, usually that's like more in a political sense.
Yeah.
But like, God, it says, don't lean too far to the right or to the left. You know, like, that path is straight and it is narrow.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a balancing act, you know, on that path of righteousness.
Yeah.
On that path, that relationship with God. So it's important to just like always be on your toes. Like,
yeah.
Be aware, and like being constantly like in prayer and just holding on to those promises is like really important.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think one of the saddest things I saw, afterwards is I follow a lot of Christian content creators and or musicians, and they came out and said something positive about Charlie Kirk, and they lost a bunch of followers, which that in itself is no big deal. You're gonna lose who you're gonna lose. But then they said things like, and this is where I think I would draw the line and say we shouldn't do this, say, well, go ahead and disfollow me if you don't like that I like him.
Mm-hmm.
Or that I agree with some of what he said, because why would you want someone to not follow more if you're trying to bring people towards Christ just because they don't like that you like a certain other person? And that, because then we're losing influence over the people that we're supposed to be showing that we love. And so that, to me, that was one of those kind of like angry responses that probably didn't need to happen as much. And so if that is anybody that's watching, I'm sorry, but that's just, just how I kind of felt about it. And I was like, no, I want you to, even if I do like him or certain things about what he said, I don't want you to disfollow me over that, because I still want to have a conversation. That's actually what he was mostly about, was continuing a conversation.
Yeah.
As soon as we start saying, well, no, don't even talk to me anymore because you don't believe what I believe, then there's no conversation anymore.
Yeah. And then it's funny because
then we're more divided.
We're more divided. There's more of a space there. And it's funny because, especially even with that specific example, I think that again gets back into, okay, where is the intent? Where is our heart? Are we responding from a place of we've been feeding our spirit and now these are fruit of the spirit coming out? Or is this a place of, no, we're giving in to our flesh and we've been feeding our flesh a little bit. The reason I'm using that term, feeding and the spirit, feeding the flesh and seeing what comes out, is because Paul makes very clear in one of his epistles, I want to say it's Galatians, but I could be wrong about this, where he says, God is not mocked.
Yeah.
What a man sows, that will he reap. And if you're reaping to the flesh, you will reap corruption and death. And if you're sowing to the flesh, you will reap that corruption and death. And if you're sowing to the spirit, then you will reap from the spirit life. And In Galatians, he's talking about the fruit of the spirit, right? And the fruit of the flesh and what comes from that. And so what's interesting is, even in that example, are you speaking from a place of you hurt my feelings by disfollowing and I don't want to talk to you because we don't agree? Because depending on how you say that, that's how it's going to come across. Right.
Right.
Or is it more, are you coming from a place of, Father, I have peace. I don't need these followers. Right. I'm good.
Yeah.
I don't need them. I'm not going to. And Brandon, this is a place.
Well, that's the first part, right?
Not the people pleasing, right? We don't want to.
Yeah, that's the first part. Yeah. You'd be okay with the people disfollowing you.
Yeah.
But then to go to the second part, then to ask even more to unfollow you because you're upset about the disfollowing.
Exactly.
You're putting too much on the disfollowing.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. And now that, and so it's funny because I think sometimes we could call ourselves, right? Saying, oh, well, I'm confident and I'm good. I don't need them because I'm secure in Christ, right? We know how to blanket it.
Sure.
Sometimes
we know what it's supposed to be.
Right. We know what it's supposed to be. but then sometimes we can act out and step up. And this is something that we see within the church. In general, this is a struggle. This is a struggle for ministries is people going from a place of growing, gaining something in the spirit, whatever it may be, developing something in their own spiritual life, but then stepping beyond that in their flesh to where now maybe God is working on them and they're growing in something, but now they're stepping beyond that in their flesh. And when they do that, when they start to step beyond that in their flesh, when they start to go from, Father, I'm at peace. You've taught me I don't need to be, you know, to find my worth and identity on my followers, my likes. I'm at peace with that. That can stay between you and God. You're good. You're friends. You're talking, right? But now in the flesh, when we start coming out and we're biting back at people, we may think that's coming from my spiritual side, but now we're acting out sometimes. And this is something that we see within churches. We see people have legitimate concerns, but the way they walk it out sometimes, the way they express it is coming out from the flesh. Because if
we
did it in a spiritual manner, if we did it in a manner that, again, that we see in scripture, right, then a lot of the divisions that we see within churches, a lot of the disunity that we have, that would be stopped. That would be quenched early on through, like you were saying, conversation, through us keeping that door open. And not conversation as I'm coming in to prove a point. I'm coming in to make sure this happens. But if we're at a place in the spirit where we have that peace and that confidence, a lot of times we can move forward and have conversations that will then reap spiritual fruit rather than the fruit of the flesh. I just have to go to those fruits. Because we keep on talking about them. And one of those fruits is exactly what we are talking about we need to combat, which is because it is the, get this, it's the opposite of unity.
Galatians 5, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah. You can probably get to it on your phone faster because I'm in Ephesians. I'm on my way there. I'm close.
I think it's important to highlight both like the fruits of the flesh.
Yeah.
And the fruits of the spirit.
Yeah.
It's like it's difficult to have like a conversation with somebody that you don't like necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you feel that there's some offense or bitterness, or there's something that you're quarreling about, like it's hard to have peace.
Exactly.
To actually carry it out in that way that Christ called us to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So I'm going to read this real quick. And I'm going to start at verse 18. Paul's writing to the Galatians and he says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, all of these things that just breed disunity, right? The enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, right? He's just kind of calling it out. Envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warned you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we could just make sure the way we're responding lines up with those fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness,
especially faith, the
gentleness, self-control.
Especially the patience and self-control, right?
Come on. If we could just if we could just make sure the way that we respond lines up with those. Even if we feel like we got something, especially if we feel like we got something from on high, right? Like we know the truth and we have been set free. We should be responding and acting in a way that lines up with these fruit.
I think one of the important things to highlight, though, is that this is spiritual fruit.
This is.
So are you going to be able to, like, have good fruit if, like, you're not rooted in Christ or if you're not rooted in the right thing?
Yeah.
Because, come on. Like, this is a result. This is the byproduct of what's going on in your heart.
Yeah.
What's going on in your mind, where you're at.
Exactly.
Like, with your spirit.
Yeah.
So before you started in verse 18, but in verse 16, it says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Mm. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves.
Come on now.
And then also in that list, I think the order of the list in the Bible, is a reason.
There's a reason. Absolutely.
It is in that order. And I'm reading from the NLT here. One of the things in that list is selfish ambition.
Yeah.
And I want to highlight this really quick because when we enter into conversations with people that we disagree with.
Yes.
Or people that we think we're holier than thou.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or people that, oh, you really need some Jesus right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
You know, we can come from this place where we actually have our own motivations
yeah.
behind the conversation. That
selfish ambition.
And we
yeah.
do not let the Holy Spirit
yeah.
do the work. We get in the way of the Holy Spirit actually touching this person's life.
Come on now.
Yeah.
So, and when you look at that list, self-control is the last one on that list.
Yes, it is.
You will never have self-control if you don't have love.
Yeah.
You will never have self-control if you're not willing
yep.
to patiently endure
yep.
people's evil.
Yep.
It doesn't mean that we're supposed to accept it.
Exactly.
You know, love the person, hate the sin.
Yeah. yeah.
But like we need to endure because I've been foolish. Mm-hmm. You've been foolish. We've all been foolish. And God has been extremely
Absolutely.
Patient towards us.
Yeah.
So we need
he is very patient.
That. Exactly. Yeah. We need to have that attitude
Absolutely.
That God has towards us.
Yeah.
And we need to be that light. We need to be that example because sometimes we might be that only glimpse that somebody gets
yeah.
of the way that God actually sees them.
Come on now.
Yeah.
And that view is so different. You cannot find that in the world
yeah.
whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah.
You will not find that patience. Mm-mm. Oh, you think this, then you're that.
Yeah.
There's always
that's where we got to have grace, right?
Yeah.
That's the grace coming through us.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, and I would even say, so especially like that patience, that kindness, that goodness that we've been talking about that unfortunately can be lacking as we start building these camps, right? That peace that we need in our society, that peace that the church needs to display. Before that, there is love and there is joy. There is love and there is joy. And we're running out of time here, but I just want us to close with one quick final thought from each of us as far as in the aftermath, what is something that we can rejoice over? A reason for joy. Because before we get to peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, we have to have love. We have to have joy. So what's something that we can rejoice over and share joy with others as far as just aftermath and especially from such an unfortunate event, something that should never happen, right? It shouldn't happen, period. No matter what side of things you're on, you should be able to say that. And with that, God has this amazing way of working things to the good. He always has throughout history, and he has this amazing way of doing things. And so what are some of those things that we've seen that we can say we can have joy over? I'll let either one of you guys start.
Well, I rejoice in the just the movement of God over the next generations. Just all these new people like exploring their faith. I've seen young people. You were talking about this earlier, Daniel, not feeling like you have a voice. Actually, there's a verse that came to mind. It's that 1 Timothy 4:12. He says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech and conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." And something I've seen recently is young people proclaiming the gospel, boldly.
Come on,
and through that, people are getting set free, and that they're celebrating in heaven. I can celebrate here.
Yeah,
there we go.
Because that happens every time, and I'm just really impressed by the next generation. Even you, Daniel, just meeting you today, and just the way you speak about your faith is impressive, and it's exciting.
Yeah.
And new things are coming in that way. Even though there's a lot of darkness in the world, there's lights kind of going out into it. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's a thing to rejoice about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's cool, because I think what I'm really joyful about is the fact that because of what happened,
mm-hmm.
there is no more getting information. Everything that Charlie Crick has said, there's no more that is coming from him anymore, right? Everything that's out there, it's out there.
Yeah.
It's complete. His work is complete in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritually, I don't think the work is complete, right? Mm-mm. I think that it's really starting to get started, and I'm very joyful about that.
Yeah.
But when all that information, since it's been put out there, that means that people are now required to make decisions.
Mm.
And that's where we start to see growth. Because it's great to be a learner. It's great to absorb information.
Mm-hmm.
But the goal of absorbing information is so that you can make an informed decision.
Yeah. Come on.
So I think now we're stepping into the season where, 2026 is right around the corner.
Yeah.
2025 absolutely flew by, and everybody wants an effective year.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a lot of decisions that are being made right now, both with the older generations, the younger generations.
Yeah.
And it's great to see just that people are choosing to be effective.
Yeah.
People are choosing to say, you know what? I may not have liked him, but I like the impact that he had, and I want to learn more about this. Oh, why was he saying this? Oh, it's because of this.
Yeah.
And then eventually, I do believe that all roads lead back to Jesus.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's just great that as people become inquisitive, as people start questioning, why this, why that, what's this about?
Yeah.
Inevitably, they will go back to Jesus. And that's the goal of all this, right? It's to lead people to Christ.
Mm.
So there's so much light that's being shed through this. And that's something that we can definitely rejoice about. And I think that my joy would be even more full if we saw that this was the start of this next movement. Because Jesus is coming back soon, right? And when we think about Jesus coming back, that makes us want to clean our lives up, makes us want to have a cleaner heart, right? Have increased in the fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
And so seeing an event like this, obviously it screams that, Jesus is coming back soon. But I think it also screams that, you know what? We need to go out there. We need to go and make disciples.
Yeah.
And I think it just makes our calling and what God has called us to do, it just makes it so much more real. And it gives us that one extra reason to just go out there, to be effective, to be bold, to have that passion for Christ.
Yeah.
So I just want to encourage everybody who's listening is just this is not a sad moment.
Yeah.
Heaven rejoiced at the fact that Charlie got to go home, and we may be sad here, but our lives are temporary here. There's no reason to be sad. Obviously it's good to mourn with people. And obviously you may have that downcast spirit,
mm-hmm.
but you have that downcast spirit so that God can lift you up. Mm. We're not meant to stay in that place.
Yeah, exactly.
We're meant to worship from that place of victory. We're meant to like celebrate like with Christ in that victory and to go show other people the victory that they have over death and over sin because of who Christ is and because of what he did and because of his relation, your relationship with God, that Jesus is, he's the reconciliation, you know, to God. He makes you whole so that you can stand in the presence of God, so that you can have his Holy Spirit in you. And like, it's just, it's awesome to be able to see that, you know, there is so much more that's going on behind the scenes than we could ever imagine. Mm. And it's just even greater that we get to be a part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's great,
man. Yeah. I feel like the big thing, just because there's a lot of things that, you know, have come from this and kind of trying to make sense of it all, right? The big takeaway that I would say I rejoice over is that I think some of those blinders of the temporary are being broken. I feel like people are starting to realize, okay, there's more.
Yeah, there is a spiritual element to things.
There is a spiritual element to things. There needs to be more than this. And just even in some of the positive responses, some of the positive responses that I've seen have shown people and have highlighted how, hey, look, we need to be above the temporary, right? We need to be above these things. And I think that is helping to position not just the church, but the world that God longs to save. I think it's helping to position us for this increase in Bible sales, increase in church attendance, increase and people being curious about the God of heaven and earth, the God of the Bible, the one true living God, where he's going to meet people and we're going to see this increase of, you know, kids coming to faith on college campuses. So many of these things that are happening that we don't highlight in the news, right? You don't get on your social media feeds and the prime time news, primarily because I think there's enemies at work who want to silence those things.
Definitely.
Right. But God is at work, and I think people are starting to look for more than what the world is offering and what the enemy is offering in all these different fake identity camps. Where we're searching for the true identity that God gives us. And I'm excited to see how God's going to continue to fulfill that. Definitely. So, and it's unfortunate that sometimes it takes something that, you know, ripples across the world and someone losing their life and a family being broken. And it's unfortunate that sometimes that's what it takes, but I also take joy in knowing God's going to make the most of it. He's going to turn good out of it. And despite the evil actions that other people have chosen to take, God's going to overcome those evil actions with good fruit. And he is going to be there to bring love and support to those, especially the Kirk family, that needs it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That he's going to surround them with that love and support that they need.
Yeah. Well, we never would have gotten the resurrection of Jesus if we didn't have his death.
Exactly.
You know, like,
exactly.
It takes that. Like, it takes that significant event.
Sometimes it takes a seed going into the earth and dying for there to be life. That's what Jesus said. You look back on history, and it has happened time and time again, where movements, world shifts take place sometimes by the catalytic event of something devastating. So my prayer is that the movement and the catalytic event will not be hijacked, but God will do what he does and take from this and turn people towards him, as we have seen he's begun to.
Yeah.
So, all right. Any final words? We are closing out. We're 5 minutes over.
Thank you guys for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, it's an honor. Like, it's
thanks for being on, Daniel.
Yeah.
I've been following you guys. Yeah. You know, since pretty close to the start.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I never expected that I'd be in the seat.
Hey.
So just thank you for the opportunity. Hey. Like, you guys are such a blessing, and like the work that you guys are doing, it is blessed as well.
Thank you.
So like, don't forget about the impact that you guys have.
Appreciate that.
Starting from that seed, letting the roots grow deep.
Come on.
And
now,
eventually that fruit will be shown. It will be evident to all.
All right. Thank you.
Encourage you guys to keep going.
Yeah. Thanks for the encouragement, man. Absolutely. I appreciate that.
You guys are doing
work. Appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you so much. Yes. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Sometimes when you're talking to a camera all day, you don't realize who's actually listening.
Yep.
Hey, you guys have got me out of some really bad days.
All right. Let's go. Yeah.
That is
praise
awesome.
God.
That is awesome.
Always comes to the right.
There we go.
We'll give the credit to God on that one.
Yes. He's the one. That's for sure. All right. Any final words?
For me?
Yeah.
I think... the only one, I'll just repeat it one more time, have grace, but present the truth. Be gracious and kind. When you listed those out, it does all start with love. Jesus said, when they asked him what the greatest commandments were, he said, love God with all your soul and all your heart and all your strength, and then the second one is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And then he said, all the other law, all the other things fall underneath that. So if you're doing that well, you're gonna be living in the will of God. If you're loving well, so
love
so start with that.
Oh yes it does. It does. All right, well, and Hope fam, thank you guys again for joining us. We'll see you back next week. Thank you for joining us for the In Hope podcast. Hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Remember, we want you to be part of the conversation. So comment, like, share, and follow. Also, we want you to consider being a ministry partner with us. For as little as $2 a month, you can help continue this podcast and other ministries that teach about unity and invest in collaborative efforts. Connect with us via social media throughout the week, and we look forward to seeing you next week on Monday on the In Hope podcast.